Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Louise Boyce, aka Mama Still Got It, and welcome back to my podcast. Since we last spoke, I have had a little baby girl, and she's amazing. She's with me today. Today's podcast is about positive birth stories after a traumatic one, which I can relate to after having a lovely birth after a traumatic one. Today's guests are Holly De Cruz. She is the founder of the Yes Mum Birthing Project, and Clemmy Telford, mother of three, a curator, podcaster, and founder of Mother of All Lists. So they're with me today to talk about positive births after a traumatic one. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Welcome back to my podcast. This is Louise Boyce, Mama Still Got It. With me today, I've got Holly De Cruz, mum of two, founder of the Yes Mum Birth Project, who I have recently experienced in my labour, and Clemmy Telford, mum of three, podcaster, curator, and mother of all lists. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And yeah, I will let you all know that I will have to breastfeed and look after a three-year-old at the same time during this. So it's going to be interesting. So today we're talking about positive birth after a traumatic one. And so the reason I've got these two guests on is because obviously, Holly, you've got your whole... The Yes Mum Birth Project is all about, obviously, positive births and how you can get your mind in the right mindset, regardless of if it's a natural birth or a C-section, like just getting your mind in the right place.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell us a bit about that.
So it is a hypnobirthing class, education programme, and it is about preparing women and their birth partners for a positive birth. So teaching them how their bodies work and equipping them to work with that rather than against it in the process. But also, kind of more than that, it's about equipping them to deal with change in labour and to navigate unexpected circumstances. And our focus is very much on creating a positive birth, not a perfect one, because we can't predict what's going to happen.
I like that, the fact that it's positive, not perfect. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because from my experience, my previous birth was quite traumatic. I had placenta abruption and the whole thing was just... you know, really quite awful and a bit disastrous, and ended up being quite life-threatening, actually. And so when I fell pregnant again, I was very aware of that happening again. And without me realising it, my mum was really worried, my husband was really worried.
So I love it when people come out of the woodwork later on.
Yeah,
like, we've all been really worried about you.
It's like, cheers, but I'm
better to do it afterwards, though.
Yeah, it was better to know that afterwards. So that's why I was like, right, this time I have to have a better experience. And I did. I did read your book. Your affirmation cards are amazing. And also the MP3s.
Yeah.
Not only did they absolutely conk me out at night. And it's actually weird, I hearing your voice now. I might just fall
but
asleep.
But that's forever. I still, my youngest is a year and a half. I'm older and I still sometimes plug Holly in when I want to have a nap.
In bedrooms everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But also what I found amazing was your positive affirmations on the MP3.
Yeah.
And that is what I listened to my entire labour.
Amazing.
I didn't even like talk to my husband.
It's kind of like having a mantra though, isn't it? It's quite therapeutic to have this kind of a series of positive statements to just focus your mind on.
Yeah, and that was my main focus. And there was a point in my labour where my phone decided to just not work. So I had a couple of contractions without hearing the affirmations.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh my God,
and
I'm
freaking
out. And my contractions were worse. And as soon as my phone came back on again,
It made me more relaxed.
Yeah, it anchors you back to that, you know, feeling okay, feeling in control.
Yeah,
100%. It's so powerful.
Really did. It really is powerful. Clemmie, you've had the same kind of experience, yeah. A traumatic and then a positive.
Yeah, and actually listening here, it made me kind of had a moment of realisation because, yeah, my first labour, it was an induction and then I bled quite heavily. And similarly to you, when I got pregnant for the second time, I thankfully found Holly. And actually, it was even before labour, it enabled me to make some positive choices. So I chose to have a home birth. And that was only through the birth education with Holly that I felt empowered to make it work for me.
That's amazing. So you went from hospital and then going into home?
Two home births after.
That's amazing. I wasn't allowed. I was told I wasn't allowed because I was high risk.
No such thing as not allowed. No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Oh, hate that word. That. Yeah, if ever you hear that, not allowed, alarm bell should go off for you.
Really?
Absolutely.
So I just was like, okay. And so it's my third birth. I should have probably known better. But...
Your body, your baby, your birth.
That's interesting. There you go.
Which also happens to be the type
of
my birth.
I'm very fortunate that I live in an area where we have community care. So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I had a midwife all the way through and a specialist home birth team who were really on side. And they actually helped me pull up my birth notes from my first traumatic labour and talk through them. And actually even reading them on a bit of paper is a big transition because you've built it up in your head, haven't you?
Yeah,
and once
massively.
You can rationalise it a bit and understand why certain things happen, that was a big...
One thing I always recommend for women that have had traumatic births is to try and get their notes.
Yeah.
And because all midwives offer a debriefing service, and it's so amazing to go through, you know, what happened, because how you remember it and then how it's written on paper can be vastly different.
And actually, time frames.
Totally. And actually, so much, you know, I teach a lot of women that have had trauma from first births. And when I talk to them about what the trauma came from or what kind of triggered it, so much of it is about how they felt rather than what actually happened.
Yeah,
you know, people can have a massive bleed. Naturally, it's not the bleed.
No, it's the lack of support.
It's the lack of support or how things were explained or not explained or how they were treated afterwards or, you know, the language that was used or it can be something so simple.
Yeah.
And actually, it's so much more about communication than the physicality
offer. Yeah, for me, with my firstborn, he was born at home and that was actually, you know, a pretty good experience, especially for my first, although the midwife was quite mean. She refused to give me gas and air. I was like, what? I need it. Give it to me. She's like, no, you don't need it. So that was fine. So I guess with the second one, I was like, well, I'll do it again. I'll be at home.
Yeah.
But I thought my waters are broken, but it was blood.
Right.
And I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And I called my independent midwife. And obviously, when you go into hospital, then she's not insured.
Yeah.
And what frightened me, apart from the fact that I was hemorrhaging and I didn't know what was going on and worried about everything, was the NHS midwives were saying something. And then my independent midwife was going, no, you're wrong. And I was there going, well, what's going on? Like, who's right?
Well, the problem is, NHS midwives are bound by the protocol of the NHS and their labour ward, whereas independent midwives aren't. Mm. So independent midwives tend to give you more woman-centred advice and care, not all the time, but they're not bound by the same rules or protocol. Mm. So they can take into consideration your personal situation a bit more, in my experience. Yeah. But often now, you know, they work hand in hand and really harmoniously.
Yeah. I think the whole experience, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't a nice experience, but yeah. I'm so pleased now that I can say, I kind of feel like I've healed a little bit from having...
That's exactly what happened.
Like having a positive one after a really traumatic one. Yeah. And without realising it, you know, my mum was... I mean, when I called her and told her I had the baby, she was just an absolute flood of tears because she was more worried about me.
Oh.
She didn't even ask what the sex was of the baby until like 5 minutes later. She was like, but you're okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. But also, you know, it's not just about giving birth, you know, naturally. You know, the whole point as well is like, if you do have a C-section, if that does go in that route... You know, again, getting your mind in the right mindset.
Absolutely.
It's really important as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've planned 2 home births and had 2 unplanned C-sections. So my births couldn't have been further from what I planned and what I had in mind. But they were both such positive experiences.
And that's amazing.
Because of hypnobirthing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Jim, who's here today.
Silently waving in the background.
his wife's 38 weeks pregnant. She's breech. Can I talk about this? Is that all right? And she's breech, and she was said that she would want to try and give birth breech.
Yeah.
But the hospitals were saying that they don't do that anymore. So
I had this exact situation. So my second was head down my whole pregnancy, all set for a home birth, and then at 37 weeks, I switched my emails off. Me and my partner went away for a couple of nights and he turned breech. Oh, so as soon as I relaxed, he turned breech. Amazing. the irony. And then, I was like, am I still going to do my home birth? And the hospital were like, no, you know, we'd like to schedule you in for a C-section. And my independent midwife said, you can absolutely still do a home birth. We can do a vaginal breech at home. Breech is a completely normal way to have a baby. It's just that midwives aren't skilled in breech births because they C-section them all.
Yeah, that's what you were saying this morning,
and
isn't it? Yeah.
So we've lost the art of midwives that can support women having breech births, which is such a shame because some babies are better off being born breech.
So why is this a thing now?
Because it's just been over-medicalised. And right. So the reason that breech births can be dangerous in hospital... Breech births are more dangerous in hospital than they are at home because midwives don't have the skill. I mean, really, when you're delivering a breech baby vaginally, it's hands off. You just let the mum and the baby do the work. You don't manhandle the baby at all. You don't guide the baby. You just let mum and gravity take its course.
Okay.
Which an independent midwife has the confidence to do because they do it regularly.
Yeah.
Whereas an NHS midwife who's never attended a vaginal breech birth, perhaps, is going to be terrifying. Mm. And then all of that scared energy goes into the room.
Sure.
Everyone's panicking. Everyone's going, oh my God, it's breech, it's breech.
Yeah.
And then the mum freezes and everything stops.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a really simple process, actually, of how adrenaline affects any birth, which is why... So my midwives were saying, you know, if you're going to try for a vaginal breech, try it at home because you're much more likely to have a successful breech at home than you are in hospital.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So I was going to try a vaginal breech at home, and then he had other ideas anyway. So,
so that was that.
But the fact that you had to go in and have the C-section, even though that wasn't planned, you know, the fact that your mind was in the right place.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing. It doesn't matter. What is it you say in your book? It's not how you give birth. It's
how you feel.
It's how you feel. Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter how or where you give birth. It doesn't matter. No. It can be important to you and it can affect you, but it shouldn't be the core focus of your birth plan.
No.
I think you're much better off going in thinking, okay, wherever this happens and however this unfolds, I am completely equipped to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And be in it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Even that sounds radical for me the first time. Someone said enjoy labour and I absolutely did enjoy my labours.
Yeah.
But it's such a radical thing. We are so taught that labour is going to be the worst thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to go and do it tomorrow because I always compare it to a marathon if you're prepped for it.
That's what I say. Exactly what I say.
And I'm not prepped to do it tomorrow. No, but at the time, I was so psyched.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's the thing that tripped me up each time as well. As you know, I went overdue with all my babies. And every time I was shocked at the, when I got to 41 plus three and still hadn't given birth.
41 plus three?
Yeah, with my first, I got to 41 plus six.
Oh my gosh.
Miserable. Absolutely miserable. Gosh, I am someone who does things at 100 miles an hour. It's like the ultimate lesson. But that feeling of actually feeling prepped, I kept on saying to my husband, imagine knowing you're going to run a marathon at some point in the next week, but no one's going to tell you when. Yeah. And like waking up like that.
And then
like,
just shout go at you.
Yeah. And it, like from 37 weeks onwards, you're like, it could be today, it could be today. And like 4 weeks later, you're still like, it could be today.
And I do think that's a major thing as well. Like, I think, as you said, like a marathon or an exam, you have to, well, for me, I like to research the crap out
of
anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And to get myself prepared.
Yeah.
And you're right, if you're going to run a marathon, you train for it. If you're going to, you know, write an essay on whatever, you research it, you do the revision. And I think the same with giving birth. Like, I wanted to know exactly what my body was going through. Because obviously your body knows what it's doing, but your brain goes, what the fuck is this?
Your brain fights it, really.
Yeah, your brain fights it. And I wanted to understand that. I wanted to understand that it was safe, and that was one of the really good affirmations that I think you have.
Yeah, it's birth
like
is safe.
Birth is safe, because that's what I kept thinking. Like any like twinge, I was like, oh my god, this is it, what's that, am I gonna bleed, like what's
danger.
Going on, danger. And obviously that brings on adrenaline, and then you know that's never a good thing.
She knows her stuff.
I do.
She's read the book.
And it's reframing that adrenaline, isn't it? I remember when in every, well, both second and third birth, when that the surges,
Surgeons, yes.
Well
done, not contractions.
When they begun, like, it's having to say to myself, I want this, I want this.
Yeah,
and it is that kind of, I call them school disco nerves, but anxiety and excitement are so two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely.
And if you can say to yourself, every surge, I want this, this means my baby's coming.
Closer to my baby.
Because it's so easy on that first, when it is a feeling of pain. That's what we've always been told to associate that with a negative.
And also, especially for first, you know, the first time you've done it, you've never felt this before.
And you're like, it's going to get much more painful.
Yeah.
And also, you don't know how long it's going to go on for.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that tripped my brain out. It's like, if someone could say it's even going to be 12 hours, I'll be all right with it.
But
yeah, it's knowing.
That's why I kept on the, when I was giving birth to Inca, I kind of felt that I was at a point where I needed to know how far along I was, like dilated. But my midwife was quite reluctant to check me because my waters are broken. She didn't want to check me because of infection. Mm. But I was kind of insisted. I was like, I need to know, because if I'm 4 centimeters, I might need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
But if I'm beyond that, then I'm
on the road.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I just need to know.
How far were you?
I was
and again,
seven.
That's like feeding your mind, isn't it? It's like, okay, I just need this piece of information and then
I
can refocus.
But it's
knowledge,
isn't it?
Yeah. I absolutely didn't want to know, because I couldn't stand the thought of, in my mind, failing where I was off my head. So that's the power, isn't it? It's doing whatever is right for you. You wanted examinations.
I needed to know.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I
and every woman is different.
Yeah.
And
that's why
the importance of woman-led care, because actually what's right for one woman is going to throw another woman off in the wrong direction.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's so important that actually the woman knows how to ask for what she wants. Like, I want a vaginal examination.
Yeah.
I don't want a vaginal examination.
Yeah.
The power is in your hands. And, you know,
also,
you know
what I did
what's best.
For the first time is, you know, when you're in the, you know, like the real depth of like transition. Crikey.
It's a dark place.
It really is, like nothing else.
If you're about to give birth, it's
fine.
But
it is short.
it is short. And
it's a good
thing. It means it's coming. It means you're nearly there.
Yeah,
but
the final checkpoint.
I made it. So when I was in my transition, I had my headphones in, listening to your voice. Thanks for being there for me.
That's okay.
And I turned it up like so loud. So I literally blocked everything out. My poor husband must have been like, yeah, nice one, thanks. But also I made a point of, I had the gas and air and I realised that I was really biting on it. And I was like, no, I'm going to relax my jaw. Because obviously relaxed jaw means relaxed cervix.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I also found myself like kind of like really squeezing the pillow. I was like, no, I really need to relax my hands as well. So I remember when the last few pushes before she came out, I just felt so relaxed.
Amazing.
I made a point of like just doing those things. And also, I think you said in your book, or I've read somewhere, where if you can smile in between contractions.
Yeah.
And I was.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked
amazing.
Like an absolute loon.
Bring it on.
But I did. And I think that helped as well. Because I was just like,
nothing like
and
it.
I think people sometimes get annoyed by positive birth stories, because I find that anyway. I think people love to hear a dramatic birth story.
And it all turns into a bit of a competition, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is so unnecessary.
It is unnecessary. And
but also, I think we all need to reframe, even if you have a very, very straightforward birth, it's still a massive feat. Like, I think when it is positive, you don't tend to go, oh my word, that was hard work. It's still really hard work.
Yeah, it is really hard work.
It's not like you get a pass to...
No. And actually, the simplest, most straightforward births, if a woman's unprepared, can be really traumatic. Mm. And a super complicated birth, if the woman's prepared, can be really positive.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
A simple birth doesn't always equate to an easy one or a good one or a positive one or whatever you want to say.
No. Yeah. But this, you know, if I was to have another one,
these are those hormones that happen at this point.
When all of them go, oh.
Don't do that.
I've currently got a baby over my arm and my boob's hanging out. I'm really sorry,
Jim. It's a great breastfeeding top, though.
This is an amazing breastfeeding top. I'm
going
to give a shout out to Seraphine, who,
this is
amazing. And they've got a whole new collection of amazing nursing outfits. This isn't sponsored by them, but maybe it should be. so I must admit, you kind of still feel broody. What the hell's that all about?
It's all those hormones, the oxytocin.
Yeah, but no, I think I'm definitely done. This shop is closed. So I have a few questions that people have asked in. One lady says, why is everyone terrified of giving birth naturally? Why is this kind of like stigma around it's horrendous and so painful?
Because it's our cultural dialogue, isn't it? It's what we see. It's the narrative of birth we get in the media. Mm. You know, everything you see about birth sells it as traumatic, dramatic, hard work, painful, scary. You're going to be out of control. You're going to be screaming. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like a pleasurable or enjoyable or calm experience ever.
No.
Because that doesn't sell things.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's not profitable
when there's
for
no
birth
story,
to be easy.
It's not worth talking about, is
it? No, it's not.
How was your birth? It was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
and
walk then, in the park.
And if it is that precious, right, you do kind of want to keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to come across as smug. Having had two good births.
Yeah.
So you don't want to trigger talked about.
Yeah, and you don't want to trigger something in someone that hasn't had a good birth. Also, I think the over-medicalization of birth, you know, we are so lucky to live in a part of the world where if, you know, things go off piece during a birth, we have medical support to
Absolutely.
Help us. We are so lucky.
Yeah, we are.
But we shouldn't assume birth is a medical event because it's not.
No, you're so right. It's
Most
not.
Times, birth is a completely normal physiological process that we are totally capable of doing without intervention. But we go into it assuming, you know, we have our babies in hospital most of the time. Mm. When do you go to hospital?
Yeah,
when you need help, when you're ill, when there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you when you're pregnant.
No, it's really,
and it's that
really
whole
grave.
Mindset, you know, whenever you walk into hospital, you
feel
kind of, yeah, of course
you
do.
You're going for something really straightforward.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and also not only that, but you lose your power. Because we have this white coat phobia, don't we?
Yeah.
Of, you know, thinking, well, whatever they say is definitely right. I won't question it. And I just have to do as I'm told. And we immediately surrender ourselves. Mm. And I think that can make things really traumatic when actually you don't think, you know what? I know my body better than anyone else. And I've got a say in this.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we become frightened as well. That kind of white coat phobia.
Yeah. And the stuff that we do see on TV, it's just so unrealistic anyway. Like if somebody's waters breaks, it's like, quick.
Yeah. And then the baby
hospital,
appears.
The baby
like,
appears,
yeah, right.
And then there's no placenta.
Yeah. No, when have you ever seen a placenta on
never.
TV?
Never.
Yeah, placentas on TV, please.
Yeah.
I want to see more placentas on my screen.
No, you never see it.
I mean, I really do.
Yeah. Bring on the placentas. Another question is, and I think this is actually quite an interesting one. There's a lot of women out there that are thinking of starting a family and that follow a lot of mums on Instagram and saying that they're terrified of becoming a mother because of what they see on Instagram because
it's
of
kind
the
of
mums.
I was talking about this on something else. We've gone the full circle. When we first had kids, there was no one kind of being honest about parenting.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was this perfection.
Yeah.
And now everyone's been uber honest and everyone knows what's coming, but it
kind of looks like it's
but it's
we're,
quite
we're
scary
having a
that
shit
people
time,
must be
but,
looking in on that because it becomes a club where we all want to be frank with each other, but it must be
you're doing it in a public forum.
Yeah, for the next generation looking up.
It's true. Like this girl was talking to me the other day. She was like, my husband really wants to start trying for a baby, but she was like, I'm terrified. You know, what if I get this and what if this happens and am I going to lose myself? And I was like, do you know what? Actually, I was like, it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's hard. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
And you know, of course it's challenging. It is one of the hardest jobs in the world, but I mean...
But it's the same thing as a positive birth. People forget to sing about the amazing, the joy. Exactly. The love that we have.
But you're right, I think it's something like... I think people are worried about being smug.
Yeah.
And there is something in that. You know, I think with my NCT group, with Basil, when he was born, I was the only one that had, you know, quite a nice birth story and everybody else didn't. And no one wanted to hear my story. No. And I actually felt awkward talking about it. Yeah. So I didn't, because like, I kind of like, I don't want to be smug and it's not, you know, a dramatic story that go, oh my God, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
Over, you know.
Obviously the best thing in the entire world. Otherwise we wouldn't keep going back for more.
Exactly.
You'd even be talking about a fourth when you've got a 4 week old in you.
I know.
Don't you think it's a lot about expectation management as well though? Yeah. Because I think the picture that you see on social media is that it's women having babies, running businesses, looking glamorous. And it's like, oh my God, how on earth is that going to happen? And actually, I think it's so important to be realistic. I mean, that was good timing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hi, sweetie.
Yeah.
In reality, it's a lot of talk of snacks and
And also, it's just thinking, okay, you don't have to do it all.
No.
And actually, it's okay to park stuff and think, you know what, I'm just going to focus on this at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, social media is a highlight reel, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think it's important
but
to
it is worth it. If anyone's listening, definitely do it. But do all the fun bits first.
Yeah, exactly. Get all your fun bits out of the way
go
first.
Go travel, go and stay in some nice hotels.
Yeah, have loads of sex.
Oh. Yeah, have sex.
But carefully.
Yeah, right.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah. And just to finish up, any advice you'd give to new mothers out there? Anyone?
I mean, Holly just said it. Like, everyone else is... Instagram is a highlight reel, and rest and absorb it. And that's, I hated when people say sleep when the baby sleeps and enjoy it, but it's because it is, they are, it's a blink of an eye, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can't believe she's already 4 weeks old. I can't believe it. Well, this one's four next
week.
Some,
you know, I posted the other day that this will be the bit that we look back at the most precious point of our lives, even though it feels like the hardest bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing, because I know that it goes so fast. This is my last. I'm trying to save it absolutely every little cobbling. Yeah. Noise and everything. I love
and also to focus on what's important for you and not be too worried about what seems important to other people.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, your heart knows best.
Yeah, definitely. All right, on that note, because Sunny wants snacks probably, we're going to finish up there. Thank you so much, both of you,
pleasure.
For joining. And I hope anyone who's listened is, I hope that's good information for you. Jim, what do you think?
Good luck, Jim, and you're on your
way. Yeah, good luck.
And we'll be back again for another podcast soon. Thanks,
amazing.
Ladies.
Amazing, thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, on cue.
That was great. I really, really enjoyed that. It's really nice to talk about positive births after such a traumatic one. And it is possible. And I hope anyone out there who's pregnant and about to give birth, they find this insightful. Please share, rate and like and do all that. I'm Mama Still Got It, and thanks for listening. Hope to see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.